please give your attention to our brother Lincoln, all the way from Barbados. Amen.
Amen.
I would say good evening to all. I had a real problem trying to determine what my audience was going to be like. When it was told it was young adults, I was looking for people all my age, especially with the young part. So I think I have to try now to try to see if I can come up to your age. Come up to your age. I'm grateful for the privilege I've had to be here to just share a little from the Word of God. And remember that we are dealing with these things in relation to the coming of the Lord Jesus. There's nothing like it. When we look around and we see the mess that men have made of everything. In fact, that is something that characterizes men. Whatever is put in their hands, they make a mess of it. The Lord Jesus, He's going to come. He's going to make it right. You know, we have been reading in Peter this evening. We're looking at 1 Peter chapter 2. And we're going to read a couple of verses there. First Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. Read verse 11, 12, and 13. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, verse 14, or unto governors, or unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. Our theme this evening is one of separation. When we read the opening verses of Peter, we find he addresses the people who are strangers, people who are scattered, people who are suffering. Perhaps you feel like that even amongst your brethren. You feel as if there's nobody who really cares. You feel the pressures of all that is there, and you can feel so alone. We can imagine how these saints felt. Persecution was rife in those days. And there were those who, even as there are some places in the world, they would perhaps hide and long for a time of fellowship. The apostle, when he writes to them, he says to them, dearly beloved. In the midst of all of this, he wanted them to know that you are beloved. I think it is 8 times in Peter's epistles he uses this word, beloved. And one of the times he uses it is in relation to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he would use it 7 times when he's speaking about the saints. I'm thinking of the verse in one of our hymns which says, the love wherewith he loves the Son, such is his love to us. God loves us. We are beloved to Him. And despite all that might go on around us, despite how we might feel, despite whatever challenges we have in the assembly, outside of the assembly, God loves us. But then Peter is saying, I love you as well. You are dearly beloved to me. We're saying to you young people, even though you may not sometimes believe it, those who labor with you, they love you. Amen. If they did not, they will not be giving you the attention and the love that they are giving you. So Peter, he would say to them, look, you are barely, dearly beloved. I hear in his words the cry of a shepherd who is concerned about sheep who might go astray. I hear in his words the concern of an elder who is concerned that the souls under his care might stumble. His desire is that the saints, they might be able to go on for the Lord. And this is what we want for our young people. You are those whom, if the Lord Jesus has not come, you are the ones upon whom the testimony is going to be in your hands. And you're the one who are going to have to stand up for the Lord Jesus. You're the one who are going to have to stand in this place where he's still rejected. And where those who stick simply to the scriptures, they are going to be ignored. We want you to know you are beloved. In 2 Peter chapter 3, there are three encouragements. Be not ignorant. You need to learn the word of God. You need to know what it is you believe. In another place he would say, be diligent. Oh, we need to really commit ourselves to those things which we are going to do for the Lord. And then he also says, look, be steadfast. We need to continue. So you are beloved. But then he would say to them, I beseech you. You know, we cannot command this thing, you know. We cannot say to you, you must be separated to God. It is something like what we find in Romans chapter 12, where the apostle Paul would say, look, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Oh, we can only beg of young people. We can only implore you. We can only say to you, look, this is for God's honor. This is for God's glory. We wish that this is what you would do. And Peter is saying here to these, I beseech you. But he says to them, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. Can I put in your minds four words? Four words which can describe people. There's the fugitive. There's the vagabond. And there's the stranger. And there's the pilgrim. The fugitive is the one who is running away from home. Does not want to be there. The vagabond, we can say, is someone who has no home. The stranger, he is someone who is away from home. I'm very much a stranger here in the United States. The pilgrim is the one who is on his way home. Now the fugitive and the vagabond, that is you and I in our unbelief. That is you and I before we met the Lord Jesus Christ. There are two words which I use to describe Cain. You know, when he went out from the presence of the Lord, a fugitive and a vagabond. It is a word that describes every unbelieving person. They are going away from God and they really have no home. But when it comes to us now, those of us who are saved, we are strangers. We are pilgrims. Let us not behave as if we are fugitives and vagabonds when it comes to the thing of the Lord. We have been brought from that place. We have been brought into a new relationship. God grant that none of us may allow ourselves to be running from the place where the Lord Jesus says, I am in the midst. That brings us to the meetings, you know. In all of the meetings, the Lord Jesus, he takes his place in the midst. Let us not run from it, you know. You know, like fugitives, we can get buried in so many things. Our jobs, our studies, the fashions of this world. So many things we can involve ourselves in, and they rob us of the time we need in the presence of the Lord Jesus, in the meetings. We become like fugitives. The Lord Jesus, he wants us to be like strangers and pilgrims.